This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.
Ashhadu
anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. حي على الصلاة
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله
حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح
لا حول ولا قوة
حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله اللهم رب هذه الدعوة الصلاة
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد Always and forever we begin with the praise of Allah. We send our prayers and peace upon our Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. We testify that there is none that is worthy of worship but Allah, that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is his worshipping slave and final messenger. I always remind myself and you of taqwallah azza wa jalla, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to favor us with His mercy, with an increase of iman, with an increase of our love for Him, fear of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hope in His mercy jalla wa ala. It is with great pleasure that I am once again with my dear brothers and sisters here at the University of Western Australia, and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yutammim ala al-khayr, that He gives all of you and us as students a completion, inshallah, to our assessments, to our exams by the end of the year. For those of us who it's their final time in returning home, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carry them back, if they're international, safely to their families as a source of pride for their countries and their people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to favor all of those who have come in the pursuit of al-ilm, a nafi' knowledge that is beneficial to themselves and others. Allahumma ameen. My discussion with you today is about focus. And focus is the constitution of the faithful. The people of Iman, in particular, modeled by the great prophets of Allah and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, were people who had a developed supreme focus. They were able to understand what is of greater priority than what is of lesser priority. They were people who were able to invest themselves fully in whatever it is that was the task at hand. More importantly, they were able to lead others to that same ideal and focus in this life, and more importantly, for what is to come in the next life. How difficult it is inspire someone to seek and desire something that is unseen and intangible. How difficult is it to speak to someone who everything in their reality and life is material? Wealth, gold, power, status, desire, attainment, land, real estate, weapons, everything that was surrounding them was something you can pick up, hold, and have value that is metric and intrinsic in it. But the prophets of Allah, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhim ajma'in, their primary duty was to call people to that which cannot be demonstrated, to that which they could not doubt, had to believe in, and had to accept on value based on words of truth and demonstrated belief in the one calling them to it. And therefore you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins before discussing those who believe, He speaks about those who call them to faith. He says, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ تَابِعًا. The prophets of Allah, the messenger of Allah, they believe in what was sent to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then in following them are the believers. And therefore it's as if you must understand that it was a struggle for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come to a reality. وَمَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا فِي الْكِتَابِ. Ya Muhammad, you weren't aware about the details of faith and what was to be sent to you in the book. وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ, and the precepts of the faith that has been sent to you. وَلَكِنْ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُورٍ, but it was sent to you as an enlightenment, as a light. In the darkness of the world, in everything that seems bright, there was darkness. And where there was lacking light, we will shine light upon it for you, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was not unique to him, but it was perfected with him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you look at all of the prophets who preceded him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was this one element of focus, of learning that there's a job and there's a task that must be met, must be completed, and must be attained. And there's certain things that we learn from the seerah of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that relates to focus in life. And I'm just going to speak about three due to the brevity and shortness of time that we have for Khutbatul Jumu'ah. First is fiqhul awlawiyyat, understanding what comes before other things. What should take precedence? What should take priority in your life? SubhanAllah, regularly I get asked questions by students, by adults and young people, Sheikh, should I memorize the Qur'an or learn Arabic? And you know, for a non-Arab, it's a really big question. Should I put effort in trying to learn words, learn statements, things that I don't know? Or should I try to decipher the language first and then perhaps learn? Should I do my master's, Sheikh, or get some work experience first? Akhi, should I finish all my studies or get married? MashaAllah, all the brothers smile. We want an answer to this one. Right? What do I do? What takes precedent in life? And subhanAllah, you find that for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He would always give the advice to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would always lead the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from what was most important to that which would solve itself if you got the first one right. And focus determines that you must seek to make correct decisions that are relevant to you and not necessarily relevant to others. SubhanAllah. At times the Prophet would make a decision that everyone around him was puzzled. And an example of this is at Hudaybiyah. SubhanAllah. The Prophet, he sees in a dream that he is making tawaf around the Kaaba. And the ru'ya of the Prophet is haqq. He sees himself making tawaf. لَتَدْخُلُونَ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ. You're going to enter الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ. آمِنِينَ مُحَلِّقِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ. In safety, in security. You will get to the point you will even shave your heads having completed your Umrah or your Hajj. And the Prophet ﷺ says to the Sahaba, let's go to Umrah. And as they arrive
in al-ashhur al-haram, which are time, the Prophet takes as a precaution. He travels in the month where there's no warfare in Arabic culture. And he arrives, he's confronted with the people of Quraysh who say, لَبَسْنَا لَكَ ثِيَابَ النُّمُورِ. We put on the clothing of lions. We're not going to let you. لَنْ تَدْخُلْهَا عَنْوَا. You will never enter this city by force. We will not allow you. Go back. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sahaba are committed. They said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you saw a dream. We're focused on what you're focused on. You made tawaf, Ya Rasulullah. You saw it, it's true, khalas. Even to the death. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, no. He sends Uthman radiallahu anhu wa Allah. And for 3 days, ghaba an al-ahl. Uthman wasn't kidnapped, but he was told to wait for 3 days before an answer from Quraysh. A false rumor, lies began to spread, and annahum qatalu Uthman radiallahu anhu. They killed him. So the Sahaba got even more agitated. They're losing their focus. What is their focus? Is it to perform Umrah or to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is their focus? Is it to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every step of the way, or make their own decisions and force him into what he doesn't want? And then come back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam time and again. And the people of Quraysh, they send Suhayl ibn Amr, who later on becomes a believer, radiallahu anhu wa ardaah. And he begins a treaty with the Prophet ﷺ that even the most beloved of the Prophet ﷺ disobey him in it. Ali radiallahu anhu is the one who's writing down the treaty. And from the very first word, so the Prophet ﷺ, they begin to dictate that this is a treaty between Suhayl ibn Amr wa Muhammad Rasulullah. He said, no, لو أمنت أنه رسول, if I believe he's a messenger, why are we here? Why are we discussing? Right? Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Ali radiallahu anhu says, never will I erase Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet instructs him. And we know that when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to do something, وَمَا كَانَ لَكُمْ الْخِيَرَ, you have no choice, you do what the Prophet says. But we're taught here, أَنَّ الْأَدَبْ لَا يَعْنِ الْإِمْتِثَالِ فِي كُلِّ الْأُمُورِ. Manners is not you do whatever someone in authority wants all the time. Sometimes you have to stand and say, I can't do it. And Ali said, Ya Rasulullah, I cannot take your name out. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He disobeys the Messenger of Allah. That's how much it hurt. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam focused. What does he want? What's his mission? It is to please Allah. To do what Allah has asked. To fulfill what his destiny will be. It is the qadr of Allah who has brought him in this place. The promise of Allah is true, but Allah did not say when it would be. Allah said, yes, you will enter al-Masjid al-Haram with safety. But He didn't say this year. He didn't say next year. It's in the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes you and I lose focus in our life where we think something must be done now, but it could be tomorrow. And it could be 10 years from now. And it's the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you unravel, not that you control. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrates it himself. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He doesn't condemn Ali radiallahu anhu wa ardaah. Karram Allah wajhah. He removes his Muhammad Rasulullah and writes and tells him, write Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi afdalus salawati wa taslim. The conditions seen on the outside to humiliate the believers. If a person comes to you as a Muslim from Quraysh, you must return him to us. La ilaha illallah. And if a person from you comes to us, we will keep him. And the Prophet agrees, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most difficult was that you cannot even see the Kaaba now, you must go back to Medina. We're going to humiliate you. You've come all this way, 12 days journey, go back, you can't even see it or drink from its water or smell its air, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's at this point that some of the Sahaba lose their focus. وَيُرَاجِعُونَ النَّبِيِّ. They come back, Ya Rasulullah, how could you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how could you again? أَلَسْتَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Aren't you the Messenger of Allah? Aren't you given victory by the angels? Aren't you supported by Allah? Why would you sign something that puts us down in front of the eyes of these people? And the Prophet ﷺ turns from them and says one simple thing. إِنَّمَا أَنَا عَبْدٌ. I'm the servant of Allah. And I've been summoned to fulfill what Allah wants. And he entered into his tent sallallahu alayhi wa sallam aggrieved, in his heart was pain. He says, مَاذَا أَصْنَعُ بِقَوْمٍ. What can I do with the people? أَمَرَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ. The Prophet tells them, take off your ihram. خلاص. There's no umrah, there's no hajj, there's no looking at the Kaaba. Take off your ihram, we're going back home. And they refuse. And his wife, radiallahu anha wa ardaha umma al-mu'mineen, umma salama, she said, Ya Rasulullah, let me cut your hair, let me shave your head bald. And when they see you've taken your ihram and shaved your head, they will fight each other to do the same. Wa kadhalik. And that was the condition. When they saw the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exit his tent and his hair was removed, taqatal an-nas, people fought with each other, who's going to cut whose hair? I'm not cutting your hair until you cut my hair. La, you cut my hair before I cut your hair. I want to follow him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They regained their focus. It's not only about the objective, but it's how you get there. We don't have this principle, and this is the second point that I share with you today. There's this false Machiavellian principle. And you used to hear it from people where they say, by any means necessary. It sounds nice. By any means necessary. You do whatever you've got to do to get what you want. Unless you have iman. Unless you're a believer in Allah. We don't believe in by any means necessary. We believe إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. The actions are cognizant and judged by the intentions that preceded them and during them. That I can't just do what I want because I want something in the end, and it doesn't matter what I do to get to there, if I get there, that's enough. Nah. How you get to where you want to be is as important, if not more so, in our deen as whether you achieve it or not. And therefore, Allah focuses the Prophet ﷺ. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. Could you imagine how much energy the Prophet put in somebody he loved? He loved his uncle, he loved his grandfather. He would call them to truth. And Allah says to him, Ya Muhammad, from the beginning, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي. You're not going to be able to guide the one just because you love them, because you have hubb for them. The Prophet loved somebody who was a kafir, a mushrik. They don't believe in Allah. And the Prophet loves him, it's his family. And Allah says to him, not because you love them, that means you're going to be able to influence them. Focus, Ya Muhammad. It is not the ends, but the means. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ. Your only duty is to convey the message. Whether people accept or not, it's up to them. Whether they attain success or not, it's up to them. Whether they pass or fail, it's up to them. Whether they do what you recommend or not, is up to them. And this becomes very important for us in our times today. Because many of us, we try to focus on the goal. I want to attain this. And if it means maybe I compromise myself a little bit until I get it, it's okay. I want to get married. Okay. If it means I have to chat with him a little, chat with her a little. If it means I send a photo here, ta-da-da-da, meet them without my parents knowing. If I meet, yani, it's okay. Nah, focus. You want a life of barakah? Focus. Oh, I want to get a job. I want a job. So, if I get a job, subhanAllah, if I go in wearing hijab, maybe I won't get a job. I wear hijab normally. Let me just... The last interview I went with hijab, I didn't get the job. Maybe if I take my hijab off this interview, I'll get the job. Let me try. That, focus. It's not the job. It's not what you give up to attain. And therefore, focus becomes the ideal of the prophets of Allah. After Tilatul Isra, I'll give you one more example from the seerah on the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد محمد بن عبد الله عليها أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. We said that our topic is about focus, and it's the constitution, it's the way of life of a believer. And we take this from the model and the ideals, from the lifestyle of the prophets of Allah. And I wish, inshallah, to explain to you in one more example the courage of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in narrowing in on what was an important target, something that he wanted, but subhanAllah, something that would be difficult to attain if he lacked this clarity and this focus that we've been speaking about. I wish to define once again focus for those who came a little bit late. It's your ability to understand what is of greatest priority before what is least a priority. It is your ability to navigate and to choose between the preferred from that which is less preferred, and to put one before the other in that which is pleasing to Allah and attains for you the steps to achieve the success that you desire. We'll speak about the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the most momentous occasions for us as Muslims is the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's the chosen date of the beginning of the Islamic calendar. It is a date that was almost as if we set the clock back to zero and begun counting. That's how important it was that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to migrate and begin anew. And I want you to think of that moment where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as is reported, turned back as he's setting out on his hijrah. And he looks back to Mecca and he says, by Allah, innaqi khayru biqa'illah. You are the most beautiful and the most amazing of the earth that Allah has created. وَلَوْلَا أَنَّ أَهْلِي وَقَوْمِ أَخْرَجُونِي مِنْكِ مَا خَرَجْ. And had I not been forced out by people who are my family or people my community, people from my tribe, the people of this land, if they didn't expel me, I would not have left. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does that tell you about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Sometimes there's things you don't want to do. Sometimes there's jobs you don't want to take. Sometimes there's careers you don't want to start. Sometimes there's apprehension. There's worry. Is this the right decision for me? Is this the right thing for me? I'm going to go to a new city, new people. I don't know them. They don't know me. Where am I going to go? Who's going to look after me? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi lawla akhrajuni ma kharaj. If it wasn't that they turned me away, I wouldn't leave. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when he leaves, he commits himself fully. And subhanAllah, one of the most beautiful things about the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that you begin to understand that what Allah wants for you may many times be different to what you want for yourself. And if you understand this, you'll be able to focus. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was leaving Mecca, his whole mind is return. As he's leaving Mecca, I'm going to come back. Even in his dreams, I'm coming back. And then when he comes back, subhanAllah, what does he do? He gives all of the ghanima to the people of Quraysh. Everything that was gained, everything that was conquered, he doesn't give any of it back to the Ansar, who are the ones who supported him. They're the ones who took him in when everybody turned him away. He even says this to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, shouldn't you say to me, awayna, we helped you when everyone turned from you, and we believed in you when your own people disbelieved in you. Shouldn't you say this and count this as a favor for me? You see me giving all this khayr to the people of Quraysh after we conquer them. You thought I was going to give you? Isn't it better than they receive these material things and you return back to Medina with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? SubhanAllah, where is the Prophet buried sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In Medina. Where did he return after the conquest of Mecca? After Allah returns him from where he was expelled? After the place he said it is the most beloved place on earth? After the place where one salah is 100,000? He goes to a place that seemingly, if you lack focus, if you're only focused in dunya matters, that's the place you should stay. That's the seat of power. That's the place of prestige. That's where the Kaaba is. That's where his ancestors are from. That's where he should be from. But no. The Prophet ﷺ returns to the Ansar. He returns to the people of Medina. He returns to that which in beginning was not his first choice. And I want you to understand in life, sometimes Allah gives you a second choice, which is actually your first choice, and if you could see it, you would understand. And there is two ways of looking at the world, with the eyes and with the heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارِ. For many amongst mankind, it is not their eyes that are blind. وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Rather, it is in their hearts that blindness has set in. It, lack of sight is found. I'll give you a real life example. Some of our young brothers and sisters, mashallah, they try to ask advice for marriage. And, you know, subhanAllah, you'll get a brother and a sister who's very attached to each other. And this is the one, Shaykh, I found the one, mashallah. Yani, in the ummah of 2 billion, huwa da, wah, it's this one, mashallah. Hayyadi, khalas, this is her, mashallah. Taibah. What do you want? Well, she has this and this and this and this and this and this, mashallah. He has this and this. They count all of the sifat, all of the characteristics they want. And subhanAllah, at night, they wake up for istikhara with the hajj, mashallah, siyam, wilaylatul qadr, ya'ani. And maybe the brother's name is Ahmed. Almighty is like, ya Allah, ya ib'at li Ahmed. But the one who knocks on the door is Ali. And the sister, if she looks with her eyes, she sees Ali, but she doesn't see Ahmed. But if she looks with her heart, all of the characteristics of Ahmed are found in whom? Ali. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers your dua, my dua, in three ways. He gives you first what you want, when you want it, how you want it. Very rare. Everything you want, the way you wanted it, you're given. Even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made all the way to Al-Hudaybiyah and wasn't given what he wanted, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not going to come when you want it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very rare. The second is Allah gives you what you want in a different way than you think you want it. So you want Ahmed, but you get Ali, but Ahmed is found in Ali. His honesty, his hard work, his education, his family, his wealth, his love, everything that you want in this man, Ahmed, that you say, Ya Rabb Ahmed, 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 it's actually knocking on your door. But your heart is not focused. Your eyes are seeing something that is a mirage. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَهُ لَمْ يَجِدْهُ شَيْئًا وَوَجَدَ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ. Most people, when they look with their eyes, it's a mirage. Until they arrive at a place and they get to the destination they thought they wanted, they got to the goal that they gave everything up for, لَمْ يَجِدْهُ شَيْئًا. They find that it was empty. وَوَجَدَ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ فَوَفَّاهُ حِسَابًا. But what they find is what they have done in the displeasure or in the pleasure of Allah, and Allah gives them the reward or the punishment that they are fitting, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, let us begin to hone our hearts and sharpen their insight. Focus is not metric. It's not just simply a checklist of things I want. Focus is also tawakkul ala Allah, to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To make a decision based on your list, and then to put your trust. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Ya Muhammad, you turn from Mecca, you want to stay there, but you know you must leave. Now تَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Step forward to Allah. Open your heart to Allah. You will find there what was better than what you had, and what was better than what you lost, and what was better than what you worried about losing in life. In your heart is the seat of focus. If you sharpen it with your love and fear and hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has gathered us here together for this blessed hour of Jumu'ah, to make us from those who have taqwa Allah azza wa jal, who have an honor and a love for Allah Azza wa Jal, who allows us to focus on what is of greater priority before that which is less, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes خَيْرُ أَيَّامِنَا يَوْمَ نَلْقَى, the best of our days, the day we return to Him. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us insight into the inner workings of what is best for us in our life. Allahumma ameen. One of our dear brothers, a PhD student, has recently undergone some surgery. And subhanAllah, some of you brothers may know him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant afiyah and shifa to our dear brother, Muhitul Husayn. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him shifa and la yughadiru saqama, a healing and a cure that leaves no trace of his ailment. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends upon him his light and his mercy and his expiation of his sins. Allahumma ameen. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you and I min al-faizeen and to gather us all with Sayyid al-Mursaleen Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi afdalus salat wa atamu at-tasleem. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah al-azeem li wa lakum fastaghfiruhu innahu al-ghafur rahim wa aqim as-salat.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله استووا تراصوا واعتدلوا أتموا صفوفكم ولا تختلفوا. Make sure that your lines are straight and complete, come closer together. If I could ask you immediately after the salah to give me just 1 minute, inshallah. There's one of our brothers that we want to just honor for just a minute, inshallah, after the salah. It'll be before your tasbih, inshallah. If you can give us just a minute, wa jazakumullah anna alf khair. Stow. الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما والذين يبيتون لربهم سجدا وقياما والذين يقولون ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقتروا وكان بين ذلك قواما والذين لا يدعون مع الله إلها آخر ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ولا يزنون ومن يفعل ذلك يلقى أثاما يضاعف له العذاب يوم القيامة ويخلد فيه مهانا إلا من تاب وآمن وعمل عملا صالحا فأولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما ومن تاب وعمل صالحا فإنه يتوب إلى الله
الَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَمْ يَخِرُّوا عَلَيْهَا صُمًّا وَعُمْيَانًا والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما أولئك يجزون الغرفة بما صبروا ويلقون فيها تحية وسلاما خالدين فيها حسنت مستقرا ومقاما قل ما يعبأ بكم ربي لولا دعاؤكم فقد كذبتم فسوف يكون نزاما الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إنا أعطيناك الكوثر وصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
جزاكم الله خير for your patience
Assalamu alaikum brothers and sisters, can I have your 1 minute please? One of our dear brothers, Mohsen Abu Ali, he's been with us for many years and he's been a very active member of our community. You've all seen him, you all met him. He's completed his PhD, alhamdulillah, and now he is going back to Saudi Arabia, his home country, next week. We want to thank him on behalf of Muslim Students Association, ourselves, for all the things that he has done for us. And as a token of our gratitude, we want to present him a gift and we request our beloved Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim to give him this gift in front of you.
Allah
Jazakumullah khair. Inshallah, speak to you. Allah you.